that happening.
So I'll get to the federalism part of this in a minute, but just back to the original question. So I don't think you're responsible for all of Connecticut's ills. I don't think anybody thinks that, but they have gotten worse since you've been governor. And one way to kind of crystallize it is that GE left after many years in your state, went to Massachusetts, not considered necessarily a hospitable place for business, but they did.
Let me stop you for a minute.
Yeah.
GE moved 200 jobs from Connecticut for $160 million.
Not a big deal?
No, it's a big deal. That state would pay $160 million for 200 jobs is a big deal. If I had paid $160 million for 200 jobs, the same people who sent you notes...
So what are you saying exactly? That it was unfair?
No, I'm just saying that they made a business decision that they wanted to have these 200 people move from our state. We have thousands of employees, GE employees. In fact, we have more GE employees in Connecticut right now than the day I got elected.
So you're
governor.
Saying that GE moving and the head of GE, Jeff Immelt, saying we're going to a place that shares our aspirations, i.e. Massachusetts, is not a big deal. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying it. We would.
Another edition of The Buzz. We have a great show today. We have Tim Herbst. He's a Republican, Eric, running for the gubernatorial, is in the gubernatorial race in Connecticut and the Republican side. And I played that little clip because I think he has a monumental task in outshining one of the greatest governors of all time.
I wouldn't say outshining, but he does have a Herculean task ahead of him, because whoever wins the gubernatorial race is going to be faced with so many challenges. It's absolutely ridiculous how far we've fallen.
I would agree. Without further ado, Tim, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. Really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for being on. Did you hear that little clip from Dan O'Malley?
I did, and I was proud of my fellow Trinity alum, Tucker Carlson.
I love Tucker. He does a really good job.
Well, Tucker went to Trinity, and Jesse Waters was a year ahead of me at Trinity, and they both represent Fox News pretty well.
I would agree 100%. So I hope you Jeff Sherman and Eric Lopkin in Studio B. We formally welcome you to the Buzz. Eric's point, I think, is well founded. I mean, I'm older than Eric, but when I graduated college in the early '80s, no comments, please, Tim.
I was born in the early '80s.
All right, enough. Anyway. I actually went kicking and screaming to Philadelphia because I wanted to stay in Connecticut like many of my brethren did. And now I couldn't imagine, unless you have, you know, already a great, you know, job locked in, staying in Connecticut after graduating a Trinity, a Wesleyan, a UConn, what have you. I mean, to Eric's point, we have fallen a great deal in the last at least 8 years, and then even before that starting, I think Weicker was the one that put the crowning touch on Connecticut's demise. Your comments, please.
Well, you know, it's very disheartening when you see 55 people leaving the state of Connecticut every day for other states that have a more stable cost of living, have a more favorable tax environment. It's very disheartening when you've seen Connecticut's population decline for each of the last 3 years. It's very disheartening when you see GE and Aetna leaving the state of Connecticut, when you basically see the CEO of Aetna say that he doesn't want to take a meeting with the governor because they are leaving because of the fiscal mess that the state is in. We are in a very dangerous place right now. And if we don't start electing proven reformers and Hartford outsiders that are going to apply basic common sense to governing and pursue the kinds of reforms that are necessary to get the state back on track, tomorrow will not be better than today. And I firmly believe that this is the most consequential election in the history of the state of Connecticut in 2018. And I believe that we have to elect a new generation of leadership that is committed to reform. You know, the R next to my name, I tell people, I might be a Republican, but the R next to my name really stands for reform. And if there was ever a time in the state of Connecticut when we needed pension and benefit reform, tax reform, spending reform, infrastructure reform, educational reform, the time is now.
Eric, do you agree with Tim's assertion that this is a pivotal election for Connecticut's future?
It really is. If we don't start fixing the problems now, it's picking up speed. It's snowballing. And, you know, I personally was very disappointed in one thing with the new budget, was that we bailed out Hartford, because Hartford is going to have to declare bankruptcy eventually. And if we rip the Band-Aid off now and move faster, we're in a better position. But our current elected officials don't seem to want to do that. They just want to push it off.
Tim, do you agree that Hartford will eventually have to go bankrupt?
Well, I agree with Eric in this respect. You know, Hartford is really a symptom of an overall disease that's plaguing the state of Connecticut. You know, Hartford is a city that's going through serious financial challenges that I think other cities in the state could experience in the next 5 to 10 years if we don't get serious about restructuring how we deliver our pension benefits, our health care benefits. These things are crippling the state of Connecticut and some of our big cities. We've made promises in the past that we haven't budgeted for, and we made promises that we knew we couldn't afford to keep. And the day of reckoning is here. So, you know, I am not in favor of bailouts in the absence of the structural reform that gets Connecticut with the program and with changing times. I mean, you know, I saw something interesting the other day. Do you realize that if the state of Connecticut had the same health care plan as the state of Massachusetts, we could probably save $500 million a year? $500 million. If we had the same health care plan that the state of New York has, we could probably save $250 million a year.
So now, why are we using the health plan we are?
Well, because you have people in Hartford that have been there for far too long. They're what I call the Hartford insiders. They are so used to a certain way of doing things, they've become institutionalized, and they're incapable of understanding or hearing or listening.
Are you saying they should be institutionalized?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Boy, if I said that, I'd get myself into a lot of trouble. But they've just been there so long under the gold dome that they really, they don't have the self-reflection to look outward. They're always looking inward inside that building. And I think there's a tremendous disconnect with the leaders in Hartford and the people that are working hard to pay the taxes, to meet the mortgage, and to really just simply get by under Dan Malloy's economy here in the state of Connecticut. So, I mean, I find it egregious that we give out health care benefits in this state that are better than what members of Congress receive. And we know this because five current and former members of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress who represented Connecticut, but who previously worked in state government, elect to take the Connecticut health care over federal health care because they contribute virtually nothing towards their health insurance. It is that rich.
So,
and that's why we have a $21 billion unfunded health care liability on top of an already growing unfunded pension liability.
So what kind of structural changes are you proposing?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is lead by example. So in Trumbull, I inherited a pension fund that was funded at 27%. So I said I was going to refuse a pension from the town and lead by example and go into a defined contribution plan. I felt that was important because I was able to then renegotiate 9 labor agreements that now put all new hires into a defined contribution plan. We've got to do that at the state level. I've said if I'm elected governor, I'm going to refuse a pension as governor. I'm going to go into a defined contribution plan, and I'm going to insist that all the contracts that we renegotiate include defined contribution plans for new hires. That's number one. Number two, overtime should not be counted in pension calculations. Number three, legislators should not be allowed to take their mileage reimbursement and use that to pad their pensions. That doesn't happen in the real world. It doesn't happen in the private sector. It shouldn't happen in state government. We need to look at the rules that are currently on the books for employees that retire from service with the state and come back into active employment. The recent audit of the state comptroller's office showed that there were serious deficiencies in that regard. As it relates to health care, what I mentioned about Massachusetts and New York, we need to have more reasonable health care plans. I don't want to compromise the quality of health care for our employees, but I also want our employees to recognize that even when you compare their health care to other public sector employees in other states and public sector employees at the local level, it is extremely generous and extremely rich. And I just feel if we're going to be able to get our arms around a $21 billion bill that's coming due, we have to institute these kinds of changes. There's just no way around it.
All right. So those are great ideas about how to reform the government itself. That'll certainly cut some of our spending, which is absolutely necessary. How are we going to go about raising revenues? And by this, I mean bringing businesses back to the state.
Well, the first thing I think we need to do to bring businesses back to the state is that we have to stop the bleeding. We have to stop the hemorrhaging. We are losing 55 people a day because we have a very unfriendly tax environment in the state and a very high cost of living. We're losing a lot of people that are retiring and leaving the state. Young people aren't coming back. So the first thing I would do right out of the gate is we have to eliminate the inheritance tax in the state of Connecticut. That's why we're losing people to other states. See, when people leave a state in numbers like that, it sends a message to businesses that the state is too expensive to do business in. Because any reasonable businessman is going to look at this and say, my God, look at this. The population's down 3 years in a row. 55 people are leaving a day. Aetna, GE are gone. We're not going there. So we have to eliminate the inheritance tax. I think we have to eliminate the Social Security tax. We have to cut the corporate rates. We have to show businesses that we are not crazy here. The difference between my economic development and tax policy versus Governor Malloy is this. The governor believes in corporate welfare. He believes in borrowing millions of dollars to give money to companies to either stay or to come. I don't think it's the job of a governor or a government to pick winners and losers. I take the position that when you create a pro-growth, common-sense policy that is rooted in lower taxes, lower spending, less regulation, eliminating inefficiency and duplication, when you do that, you don't have to pick winners and losers.
Tim, I have a question. You know, you talk about fiscal responsibility. Connecticut's, by any kind of logical viewpoint, has a very bloated and disproportionately large size of government. Are you willing to take that on and make the necessary cuts?
I'll tell you, the first department I'm going to go to town on day one is the Connecticut Department of Motor Vehicles. Day one. That is the most inefficient and ineffective state agency in our government. People should not have to take off from work to get their license renewed. People should not have to stand in line for 5 or 6 hours to turn in license plates. If ever there was a textbook definition of how our government is too big, spends too much, is inefficient and ineffective, that's the poster child. There are plenty of other state agencies that I believe we can turn to our not-for-profit sector, 501c3s, to get them to make the investments. Kennedy Center in my town of Trumbull does a very fine job. They have certain contracts with the state. Some of these 501c3s do three times the work at one-third the cost. And I've seen projections that we could save upwards of $500 million by outsourcing some of these social services and giving them to those 501c3s that are doing a good job already. There are plenty of things that we can be doing in this budget to reduce the mountains of waste and inefficiency and duplication. But it's just going to take somebody from the outside who has a proven record of reform that is going to go in there, tell it like it is, and shake things up.
Right. Taking it down a little more granularly, there's been a lot of talk with the municipalities and the localities about merging towns and cities around the state to help cut overhead and help on that end. What's your opinion on that? Where do you stand?
I am not. Let me be very clear that I am not in favor of regionalized government. I am not in favor of creating another layer of regional taxation. One of the reasons why we pulled out of CCM, Trumbull did, was because they recommended regionalized taxation. I don't think that is what we should do. However, there are areas where I agree that towns and cities working together can find savings and efficiencies. But before we start talking about regionalism, let's look at the duplication within municipalities because of the laws of this state. You know, here in Trumbull, we've got a town and a board of education. Why do we need two finance departments, one for the town, one for the Board of Ed, two IT departments, two public facility departments, two HR departments? That is absolutely duplicative. So what I would suggest and what I would advocate for should I become the governor is that we start there first, that towns and cities be free to eliminate the duplication between the town and the Board of Education in non-education-related areas. And you do that by lifting certain laws that have created that environment in our towns and cities. And I think that when you do that, you're going to see significant savings within municipalities. You're going to see lower property taxes. And then you take it to the next step where you incentivize and encourage communities to look at services that they provide and to determine on their own whether consolidating those services with other towns and cities will reap savings. But it's definitely something we should encourage and facilitate, but I am not in favor of creating regionalized government and regionalized taxation.
Tim, I have a question for you. You have a lot of, seemingly like you have a lot of good ideas. We all agree this is a pivotal election. You've kind of stated some of the problems we're currently facing and the monumental problems we could face if things don't get corrected. The problem is that we are a blue state. All our elected representatives on the national level are all Democrats. And my two questions, how are you going to break through that? And then how are you going to withstand the onslaught, the personal attacks that will sure to come?
Well, I don't think the state of Connecticut is as blue as people think. In point of fact, I think we're a little more red than Massachusetts, than Rhode Island, than New York, than Vermont, and I'm going to venture to say even New Hampshire. And the proof of that is, despite the fact that in 2016, Hillary Clinton won the state of Connecticut by double digits, Republicans tied the state Senate, and Republicans are within 4 votes of the state House of Representatives of having a majority. For them to do that in a year where the Democratic candidate won Connecticut in a landslide, I think speaks to how voters are beginning to separate their feelings about national politics with their feelings about their state and their state government. So I think in 2018, we are in a very strong position to not only win the governorship, but also to win the Senate and the House of Representatives. And if we do that, then we're going to be in a position to really bring the kinds of reforms that are necessary to fix the state of Connecticut.
And you're prepared to withstand the attacks and the strategies of personal destruction that the left so often resorts to.
I'm a pretty tough guy, and I've got a pretty thick skin, and I come from a town called Trumbull, where the politics get rough at times. And I played football for a guy by the name of Jerry McDougall, who was at the time the winningest high school football coach in the state of Connecticut. So I come from pretty tough stock, and I am not afraid of what it's going to take to take. Look, I wouldn't be doing this if I was afraid to take on attacks, take on tough challenges, take on opposition. This is not for the faint of heart. And I think some of the other Republicans that are running, quite frankly, don't have the spine or the steel in their spine to take this on the way it needs to be taken on. And I think that's what sets me apart from some of the other candidates. And I am not afraid to take this on.
Is there some initial poll numbers talking about the race in terms of you against the other Republican candidates and maybe even looking at some of your potential Democratic foes?
Haven't seen any polling yet, no.
Yep. We've been talking about how the state is falling apart, and in some cases that's actually literal. What are you going to do about the state's crumbling infrastructure?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the legislature, if I'm governor, that infrastructure reform is of one of my highest priorities, top 5. We have got to get back to work rebuilding our roads, our highways, our bridges, our rail system, and we have to invest in our airports. I see tremendous opportunity for additional commercial air traffic into Connecticut beyond Bradley that I think would help to jumpstart our economy and make us more competitive. I also think our rail system, one of the things that I want to see us do is get a seat at the table with the administration as it relates to this infrastructure bill, because I think now's the time to invest in high-speed rail. I think if we had high-speed rail that replaced Metro North, that would put us in a tremendous competitive advantage with other states in attracting new businesses to come to the state of Connecticut. But here's my problem with the legislature. They're talking about tolls, and they're saying they're going to take the toll money and they're going to put it into roads. We've heard this before. They told us that the gas tax, that money would be used to fix our roads, our highways, and our bridges. And what have the Democrats in the legislature done time and again? They have raided the Special Transportation Fund to artificially balance the budget. So I am not in favor of any additional revenue enhancements that are paraded around as being for infrastructure until this state gets serious about creating a binding and enforceable transportation lockbox where monies cannot be raided to artificially balance the budget, and those funds can only be used to fix our roads, highways, and bridges.
Right. Now, we've also, you know, there are so many ways we've fallen behind. The tax structure we have in this state was business tax specifically, was basically meant to tax manufacturers. And so localities like Trumbull are stuck taxing, you know, doing property tax and equipment taxes for an economy that doesn't exist anymore. How can you adapt to the current economy?
Well, because you bring up a very good point. Connecticut was once a manufacturing hub. And in the 70s and 80s, we lost our way. So we have to recognize that the manufacturing of 50 years ago, which was the bedrock of our economy, no longer exists. We have to then change our strategy and recognize that we are tremendously well situated for medical and R&D expansion, pharmaceuticals. These are industries that are evolving, that are growing, that provide good-paying, high-wage jobs into our economy. We need to become an economy that does not just rely upon a one-trick pony, like manufacturing, because we've seen what happens when manufacturing basically leaves the state and evaporates. We need to diversify our economic development strategy, but we need to focus on things that are rooted in higher education, R&D, healthcare industry, health services. I think that's where we could be very well positioned to grow our economy. And we need to also recognize that the current state of our economy has directly compromised our ability to keep and retain financial services in the state of Connecticut. And we're going to have to do a lot in terms of tax policy and pension reform and spending policy to convince those businesses to come back to our state.
All right. And how do we go about diversifying that base? Oh, especially if you take a look at southeastern Connecticut, that entire region, the economy is basically dependent on the sub-base and the casinos. And the sub-base, once again, is up for potential closure. So how can we diversify our economic base in areas like that?
I think what we have not done enough of in southeastern Connecticut is to aggressively promote a tourism industry that I think is second to none. There is no reason why southeastern Connecticut cannot compete with Rhode Island, the Cape, Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket. I mean, there are some beautiful areas in southeastern Connecticut. I was out knocking doors with the candidates in Groton running for the town council, and we were in Noank, and I saw homes that sit on the mouth of the Mystic River as they look out on Fisher's Island. And I said,
I used to go kayaking there. It's amazing.
It's amazing. So I said to myself, I actually said to the candidates, look at how beautiful our state is. Look at how wonderful our state is. Connecticut deserves better. We need a governor that's going to be focused on promoting a tourism industry that brings people into our state, that makes our state shine, that showcases our state for what it is. We have a beautiful, beautiful state. We really do. Not just the shore, but the Litchfield Hills, the Farmington-Avon Valley. Our cities, if properly rehabilitated, could become metro centers that millennials will be comfortable living in, walking in, and commuting in. These are the kinds of things that we need to focus on to reignite our cities, to take advantage of our beauty, our geography, and where we're positioned. You know, I tell people that Connecticut is in a better position than even Massachusetts and New York because we are the linchpin that connects the tri-state area to the rest of New England. By virtue of our geographic location, we are poised to be very competitive if we get our house in order And that's something I'm committed to doing.
Fantastic. Tim Herbst, you've been a great guest. You're doing Trinity proud. You're doing Trumbull proud.
Thank you.
And I think we all agree that it is a pivotal election. But before, and hopefully you enjoyed your time on The Buzz.
Loved it.
Before we let you go, and I hope you will come back and grace us with your presence in the near future, but could you give the proverbial elevator speech to our listeners out there why it should be you versus all the others running?
Connecticut needs a new generation of leadership. We need proven reformers and Hartford outsiders that aren't going to be afraid to tell it like it is. Go to Hartford, take on the corrupt culture under the Gold Dome, and shake things up. And here's the difference between me and every other candidate in this race. I am prepared to be a one-term governor who doesn't get reelected if it means doing the right and necessary things to fix our state. We have too many politicians that are focused on the next election. We need leaders that are focused on the next generation, and that is the kind of governor I will be.
Fantastic. Tim, thanks so much for being on the show. And if our listeners would maybe like to contribute to your campaign or get more information, how can they do that?
Oh, we love contributions. So my web address is www.timforconnecticut, T-I-M-F-O-R, Connecticut, full word, .com. It takes 2 minutes to make a one-time donation of $100. We're very close to reaching the threshold to qualify. Every little bit helps, and I hope those that are listening, if you liked what you heard, help me help you fix the state of Connecticut and help your families and your futures.
Tim Herbst, Republican candidate for governor, thanks so much for being on The Buzz, and hopefully we can talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Great. Yeah, I thought he was great, and we definitely invite our listeners to call in if you've had the pleasure of listening to Tim. Personally, again, you know, we don't hold water for Democrat or Republican Dr. Lopkin. I think he articulated quite clearly what we're up against, which is rather dire, and what has to, not what need, what has to be done, correct?
He really did, and he does understand that. It, you know, we're in a spiral, and if we don't pull out now, the longer it takes us to fix the problems, the harder it's going to be.
It may be unfixable.
It may be.
We invite our callers to call in at 860-685-7700, 685-7700, 685-7700. I would love you to comment on what Tim had to say, but more importantly, I would really like someone, Dr. Lopkin, maybe in their 40s or 50s or even older, that have actually seen Connecticut's evolution or de-evolution from once a icon of where people wanted to live, work, and really raise a family to something that really doesn't represent that right now.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, as Tim said, we're losing 55 people a day. And that's completely unsustainable.
Yeah, but also when you lose those 55 people, okay, those are the breadwinners. Those are the
yes.
producers. And you're left more, you tip the scales further and further and further away from producers to more dependent
Absolutely. People. And, you know, we're losing people. We're losing businesses. And this is the tax base. This is why, you know, over the past several budgets, they kept raising taxes, and each time, it actually brought in less revenue because the people they were taxing left.
Of course, you know, you get to a point and you say, okay, I'm out of here. If you're retiring in Connecticut, that doesn't happen. It's really a very arduous situation right now.